stand up, church. Y'all know it. This is what we say.
Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think.
Lift it up, church.
Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that.
Sing it out.
Exceedingly, abundantly,
abundantly,
he's gonna do, he will do.
Exceedingly,
abundantly,
yes, Lord.
Above all that
we ask
or
think.
Praise the Lord, church. How many of you are ready to worship the Lord in the house? I just feel such an expectation. So I wonder if you would just worship with us today. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, I can't help but praise him. I can't help but dance. I can't help but clap my hands.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, we want to see you high and lifted up.
I can't help
Every day, That's why I owe you praise for the ways that you have made, for the price that you have paid, for your mercies every day. That's why I owe you praises. Oh Lord, you deserve, oh Lord, you deserve all my praises. Oh Lord, you deserve, oh Lord, you deserve all my praises. Oh Lord, you deserve, oh Lord, you deserve all my praises. Oh Lord, you deserve. For your mercies every day. That's why I owe you praise for the ways that you have made, for the price that you have paid, for your mercies every day. That's why I owe you praise.
Oh, there's so many reasons.
Cause when I think of all you've done and all the battles you brought me over, hallelujah. And all the storms I saw them calm, in my defense my only song is hallelujah. When I think of all you've done, when I think of all you've done and all the battles you brought me.
say it, but I've already went there. My dad went in a few weeks ago for surgery, and they found a thickening in the wall of his bladder, and they said, when we see this, we know that it's cancer. And when I found that out, I said, God, I trust in you. I'm not going to believe what the doctors are telling him, but I'm going to worship you no matter the circumstance, no matter what is going on. And I tell you, a few days ago, he went in and the doctor says, everything is healthy. There is nothing wrong. So I got a reason to worship him. I got a reason to praise him. I can't help but dance. I can't help but sing.
For the ways that you have made, for the price that you have paid, for your mercies every day, that's why I owe you praise. For the ways that you have made, for the price that you have paid, for your mercies every day, that's why I owe you praise. For the ways that you have made, for the price that you have paid, for your mercies every day, that's why I owe you praise. For the ways that you have made, for the price that you have paid, for your mercies every day, that's why I owe you praise.
Oh Lord, you deserve. Come on, lift your hands all across this room. I feel his presence so heavily. Hallelujah. Come on, open your mouth right now. He is here. Whatever you need, you have access to the King of Kings. Come on, I tell you, he is able to heal your mind today. He is able to heal your body today. He is here and he is working. I wonder if you would just ask him, Lord, fill me. Lord, I need a miracle. Lord, fill me right now. If you believe you receive something from the Lord right now, I wonder if you would just dance. I wonder if you would just take a second to worship him. He is the King of Kings.
Praises, oh Lord, you deserve. Oh Lord, you deserve all my praises. Oh Lord, you deserve. Oh Lord, you deserve all my praises. Oh Lord, you deserve. Oh Lord, you deserve all my praises. Oh Lord, you deserve. Oh Lord, you deserve all my praises. Oh Lord, you deserve.
Hallelujah. Somebody just give a hand clap. We thank you, Jesus. Oh, we praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, church. Just keep thanking him. Keep praising the Lord. Every one of you, call out to him. Dear God, we thank you for meeting us here. Dear God, we thank you for what you're about to do. We thank you for what you've done with Pastor. Dear God, I pray you we would unleash a gift of faith among us, a gift of thanksgiving and praises. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. And I know so many of us, especially myself within the last week, have been dealing with so many voices. So many voices from hell. Maybe they're in our home life. Maybe it's the voice of God. I don't know. Encouraging us or discouraging us. Voices that say, Dylan, you should not be up here on this platform. You don't deserve it. Dylan, you should not hang out with the people that you hang out with. You don't deserve them. Dylan, they're so much more anointed than you. They've been in church their whole life, and you're struggling to even get your family to show up. Dylan, you don't deserve it. Well, I'm here to tell all of you that none of us deserve anything, and it is only by the grace of God that we are here today. Hallelujah, Jesus. So why don't we just thank the Lord? I know a few months ago I was out in the world. I was talking like the rest of the world. I was sinning like the rest of the world. I was out there doing things that I should not be doing. And just look at what the Lord has done for me. Just look at what the Lord has done for you. People say, Pastor Jason, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've been watching. You don't know what I've been through. Well, guess what? You don't know what I've been through. None of us know what everyone's been through. None of us know what Pastor has been through. And yet he's still up on this platform changing the lives of so many people. And we give all glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus, for everything that you've done for us. Hallelujah, Jesus, for everything you're about to do. The enemy wants us to live in the past. The enemy wants us to think, well, you see, I shouldn't be here. Like I said, I don't deserve it, but none of us do. The enemy wants us to live in the past, or the enemy wants us to live in the future. Dear God, I don't know how I'm going to get enough money for rent this coming up, or I don't have enough money to support myself or to support my family. Well, I'm here to tell you that we have a covenant-keeping God, and he is able to change our lives and to provide and protect us. With that being said, let's just take another moment to praise God and thank him for everything that he's done to us. Why don't you just thank the person next to you for being here with you today, for being here in this room. Hallelujah, Jesus. I just have a few announcements to go over. Why don't you just go up to somebody you don't normally talk to and say hi to them? Why don't you just give greetings to everyone across the house? So first off, Thursday at 6 p.m., we have Recovery Alive with Sister Michelle here at the church. So thank you, Sister Michelle, for everything that you've been doing, and praise the Lord for what you're about to do. And then Friday, 2 days in a row, we have a Bible study here at 6 p.m., at Sister Wendy's house, with Sister Debbie, so thank you for them, praise the Lord. And then Saturday, the 21st, so that's 3 days in a row, folks, we have our third Saturday of the month prayer meeting here at the church at 7 o'clock p.m. And then last but not least, we have our Easter family challenge. And if you want to sign up for that, the sign-up sheet is out in the foyer, I believe. I'm just going to call the ushers up, have them come up, and let's just pray one more time over the offering that we're about to give the Lord. Let's just praise him. Let's just ask him to do something beautiful with what we're about to give unto the Lord and unto the house of God. We thank you, Jesus, for what you're about to do with this offering. I pray that everyone in here would just receive your word that we're about to hear today. And just give thanks to the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
we're back into a time of worship, I wonder if you would just come down to the front and continue to worship with us, because He is worthy. Hallelujah. As I follow You, I know everything will be alright. As I come to You, I know You'll make everything alright. The whip I may be formed, but it will not prosper. Surrounded on all sides, but my God has already won the fight. You traded joy for my pain. You brought my life out of the grave. I will lay down my sorrow and shame, raise up my voice and lift up the praise. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord with everything that is within me. I will bless the Lord. As I come to You, I know You'll make everything alright. You traded joy for my pain. You pulled my life out of the grave. I will lay down my sorrow and shame, raise up my voice, lift up the praise. I will bless the Lord. Bless the Lord with everything that is within me. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord. And when I think I'm done, I'm gonna bless Him some more.
Oh, we worship You, Jesus. Oh, we're gonna praise You. I've been redeemed. I've been set free, oh, in the name of Jesus. Is that a testimony for anyone? I've been redeemed, I've been set free, in the name of Jesus. I have victory.
I've been redeemed, I've been set free, in the name of Jesus. I have victory. I've been redeemed, I've been set free, in the name of Jesus. I have victory. I've been redeemed, I've been set free, in the name of Jesus. I have victory.
One more time.
I've been redeemed, I've been set free, in the name of Jesus. I have victory.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy.
Jesus, I have victory. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. In the name of Jesus, I have victory. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. In the name of Jesus, I have victory. I've been redeemed. I've been set free. In the name of
Jesus, I have victory.
Come on, I know it's a Sunday morning and we may be tired, but I wonder if you would just give him worship right now, because he's worthy of it.
Because in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you have to flee. Everybody say,
in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you have to flee.
Oh,
tell me, who can stand before us when we call on thy great name? Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, we have the victory.
Victory is, where's everybody at?
Victory today is mine.
I told Satan,
get thee behind. Get thee behind. Victory today is mine.
One more time,
oh,
say,
victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine.
I told Satan,
get thee behind. Victory today is
just
mine.
Just the voices say,
victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine.
I told Satan,
get thee behind. Victory today is mine.
Is that a testimony for anyone in the house? Victory is yours. It is readily available for you, for your neighbor. Begin to thank him for everything he's done for you, everything he's done for your family. Let my heart not forget. Let my heart return again to the one to love again. To the nearness of a fool.
Your don't feel it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Christ our Savior, great and glorious. There is no one higher, no one greater, no one like our God. There is none more able. Christ our Savior, great and glorious.
Come on, now would be a good time to worship. Now would be a good time to lift your hands.
Another one is on the way.
door after open door. Here it comes, so get ready for another one, 'cause another one is on the way. Yes, another one is on the way.
Somebody else and say, I'm glad to see you today. Praise God, praise God. One more time, would you clap your hands unto the Lord? Praise the Lord. You may be seated. It is wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. What an awesome presence is here today. There's nobody like our God. Nobody like our God. Grateful for all that God is doing and what He's already done. Man, it's amazing when you can come in and immediately feel something in the atmosphere. The presence of God is so real here, and I'm thankful for that. Are you thankful for the presence of the Lord? Nothing like it. Matter of fact, it was a few weeks ago now. It was a chain reaction. And I know Brody is not here, but he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Justin Dominic received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come on, would you celebrate that right now and thank the Lord? Miley, you want to give that to your dad? Come on, let's just thank the Lord for his faithfulness. Woo, come on, let's thank the Lord for his faithfulness. Hallelujah. God's not done yet. He is not done yet. Thankful for all that God is doing. We've got quite a few out today, so be in prayer for them. We're thankful you're here. Now would you look at somebody and say, you're the best thing I've seen all day. But the day's not over. There's still hope. No, I'm just teasing. Thank you for your prayers. I guess it was actually 4 weeks ago, I had a scan done. We didn't share this with anyone, but what you don't want to do is look at Google or WebMD. But the doctor did come in and said that every time he sees what he's seen, it was cancer. And I've been told I've had cancer before, just due in fact to the having Crohn's disease, but I've never been told I had bladder cancer. And the doctor, of course, let me know what his thoughts were, what the plan was, and what they were going to do. And then I had surgery on that Friday. So Thursday, I was told I had cancer. And on Friday, I had surgery. And then I had to wait 2 weeks to be able to hear anything else. And that's always fun. And so, of course, I Googled a few things. And I found that bladder cancer, if you don't know it, is pretty predominant, not in all, but it shows up in people that smoke and so forth. And I thought, man, I don't smoke. Unfortunately, I've had a whole lot of secondhand smoke, and it wasn't just cigarettes. You didn't think that was, I thought it was funny. Ain't no cigarette, that's cigar weed. But I'm thankful that Thursday went through a procedure that, and of course, you know what I did do and I shouldn't have done, and I wouldn't advise any married person to ever do this or do that to a loved one. I didn't call my wife. I texted her and said, dear, the doctor just said that I had cancer. And then I thought about it about 20 minutes later, and I thought, man, I shouldn't have done that. I probably ought to call her. So I called her, and I ruined her day. But it was just this very week, just Thursday, the doctor said, you're clear of cancer. And, yeah, thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for that. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And he said that I have, and I know this is kind of odd to talk about. He said, you have the bladder of a 50-year-old man. And I said, I'm not 50. He said, well, then you're 48-year-old man. I thought, okay, now we're talking. Let's not rush this too much. Amen. Thankful for the faithfulness of God. Even when you can't see it, he's working. Even when you don't feel it, he really is working. My, what a presence of God is in this place. He is faithful, he is just. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Now, I'm only 3 weeks and 2 days out of surgery, so I tried being the joyful jumper, but my wife said, chill out. And I had to listen because it started hurting a little bit where they cut me and all that good stuff. So I'm just going to be Jason the joyful pointer. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 3 reads, if the clouds are full, they pour out rain upon the earth. Whether a tree falls towards the south or towards the north, wherever the tree falls, there it lies. Actually, fall means where the tree had defected or failed, there it lies. It's pretty evident. Where it leans, it falls. Whether that's leaning to the north or to the south, where it leans, it falls. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12 says, therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. Everybody say, therefore. You know what it means. It's, why is it there? Therefore, what's it there for? Well, it's for us to look at this and say, him who thinks he stands, take heed that he does not fall. I'm going to talk for a little bit on where you lean is where you fall. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your sweet presence. I pray, oh God, let your word challenge us. Challenge us enough to change. I pray it right now, God, that you'll touch our minds, our hearts. We love you, Lord, for what you're doing. Help us, oh God, to fall into your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, in Jesus' name. The next few words shaped a nation. It was at the very core of who they are. These words were found, they were taught from morning to night, taught, instilled, and lived out again, morning to night. It was taught in the morning, at lunch, at dinner, and at night. This mandate is what separated them from so many. It's found not just at the foundation of their teachings, it becomes and defines every decision that should and could be made. It is Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 4 reads, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Jesus even quoted this in the book of Mark chapter 12, telling them it was the first commandment. The first thing that you and I are commanded to do is to hear. Not just hear, O Israel, love the Lord, but you and I are mandated to hear what God has to say. And I understand that I've used this particular text and talked about the word hear, that it is not just a word that we should run over really quick. It means to accoo, or where we get our English word acoustics from. Now, I've been in some places where the acoustics are wonderful and some are terrible. Everything, when it's bad, it's really bad. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Everything just runs together with no distinction, and everything just becomes a noise and a distraction. So right from the get-go, the Lord is establishing this mandate. He's saying, eliminate the distractions. In order for everything to flow right, it starts with you and I getting the room right. It starts with you and I eliminating the noise and tuning into what God has to say. You see, you and I have to determine the distinctions and the distractions. You and I have to fine-tune ourselves properly to get anything from God Almighty. He said, hear, O Israel. It's not merely, again, a command, but it's a verb. It means to comprehend, to attend to consider, to yield to the obedience of. Get everything in focus. Yield to the obedience of that one God. I want to say this. The reason why me, myself, and I have issues with what God Almighty says is because we have problems eliminating the noise, turning down the chaos, and getting everything right. If you want to deal with the me monster, what you got to do is get rid of the distractions and make God Almighty the main attraction. Come on, somebody, shout yes! They said, Lord, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, here, O Israel, starts with getting the room right. If we can get the room right, then we could properly adhere to, yield ourselves in obedience to, give audience to what he has to say. Everybody shout it, hear, O Israel. Just look at somebody and say, are you hearing what he has to say? They say there's a difference between listening and hearing. Some have perfected, you know what kind of hearing, selective hearing. Some are really good at it. Praise the Lord, someone, yeah. You know what that is already, Joe? Wow, you're doing pretty good, Bubba. Selective hearing. That's when somebody, I won't say who, is saying something and you act like you didn't, you just keep doing what you were doing. And then you only pay attention when they're saying what you want them to say. Selective hearing. I've learned now that we've been together for 24 years, 23 years, and I'm running out of ways to hear. Selectively hear, but I have mastered a few things, and that is whenever my wife says I'm going to do something or I need to get something done, and I just have to just rock a little bit. I'll get it. It's all I got to do. Just start, you know, I mean, I might rock myself to sleep, but I'm going to get... Everybody say hear. Here's what you and I are supposed to do with that one Lord. We are to love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. Hero is to get the room right and love the Lord with everything in you. Eliminate the distractions. Get everything out of the way where God Almighty is number one and nothing else matters. Shout, I will hear what God has to say. Hear, soul and mind appear very similar in meaning. Soul meaning a person's distinct identity, its individual personality. This is the very part that lives on. We need our soul to be filled with the very breath of God. We need to be born again. I'm thankful today that we still believe in water baptism in Jesus. I'm thankful today we believe you can be born of the Spirit again. Oh, repentance, water baptism, and the infilling of God's Spirit. I'm thankful that we can get our souls right. It's a principle that has stood against the testings of time. When you love God with everything, when you trust God with everything, make God first at the beginning of every decision. Make Him Lord of all at the center of everything. And wrap every idea, every thought or plan around God, and it will work for our good. I think, Brother James, you said it earlier today, that it may not look like it's turning out good, but when God gets involved, it will work out for the good. But herein lies the problem. Not only is every man, woman, boy, and girl born with free will, in us, in our DNA, our humanity is the will and desire to do what pleases us. It's intertwined in our DNA to seek after, to run after what could hurt us. Psalms 51 and verse 5 reads, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Sin, you see, it was with us in the beginning of time. It lieth, one scripture says, at the door of our lives. And what you and I need to do is to get the room right and keep sin at bay. Your flesh, hear me today, your flesh is greater than the devil will ever be. It's the truth now. You see, the enemy of our soul has already bruised the heel of our Savior. He's already defeated, but our flesh must come under subjection to God. Our desires must come under subjection to God. That's what we got to do. James chapter 1, 14 reads, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, it bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. And I know I might sound like a broken record, but here we go again. Sin always starts small. A small, insignificant thing, but given time, it will go wild after that. Outside of these four walls, there's a real world out there with real spiritual enemies, and danger lurks around every corner. And if you and I cannot keep our hearts right and submitted to God, we'll run wild just like it, thinking freedom without constraint is safer. Yes, it's that beloved conviction, though, that will keep you safe. See, again, it's the adhering and obeying through application of the truths or the taught word of God that keeps us. I'm thankful for the taught word of God. I'm thankful for the preached word of God. I'm thankful that we can apply the word of God to our lives every single day. And yet, it is that very thing that will keep you if you keep it. I feel compelled to preach to all of us today that there is nothing in this world worth our salvation. The experimental approach to making sure that you and I are happy and never challenged by the Word of God will lead you and I to catastrophic events. It might look good, feel good, taste good, but if it's not godly or biblical, we've got to be careful with the fire we're playing with. I know that's old-fashioned preaching, but you and I ought to do our level best to abstain from sin and get our hearts right, get our lives right, getting focused on Jesus, and nothing else matters. We can't cover up our sins. We may attempt to divert others from those hidden things and hidden places of the heart, but we'll never truly succeed. The Bible reads it in Proverbs 28 and 13, whosoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. One translation reads like this, you can't whitewash your sins and get by with it. You find mercy by admitting it and leaving it. Numbers 32, 23, and be sure your sin will find you out. Proverbs 16, 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Make no mistake, you and I can choose the path, but we don't get to choose the journey. Careful on the path that we choose, because there's a journey involved that looks much different than the packaging that we're being presented with. Someone say amen. So no number of thoughts of it's only one look. No number of thoughts of it's not that bad or no one is around. No amount of self-justification that says how can something feel so right but be so wrong. Let me tell us again today, if it's against the word of God, it's not the will of God. Oh, come on, somebody. Why don't we just receive? If it's against the word of God, it is not the will of God. Period. The only way that we, you and I can deal with sin is to get it out, and that comes through repentance. The only way you and I can deal with sin is to run from it and not give it a time or the day. The only way you and I can deal with sin is to let God rule and reign in our lives. You and I, no matter what, we cannot tame sin. James 1:15, and when sin, when it's finished, it brings forth death. It brings a separation between God and man. You see, sin, it separates you and I from all that is holy in the eyes of our Heavenly Father. It separates you and I from all that God has for us. It destroys, it decimates, it ensnares, and sin still enslaves. And guess what? There's not a one of us under the sound of my voice, including me, myself, and I, who are exempt from sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now is your time to look at somebody and say, you're a sinner. Now look at somebody else and say, shame, shame, know your name. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Matter of fact, the only way we'll ever see the Lord's kingdom to come into our lives and heaven as our home, we've got to obey scriptures. It was the forerunner of Jesus called Christ, John the Baptizer, who said it like this, Matthew 3:3, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If you and I want to see his kingdom to come, we've got to get rid of the distractions and the junk and the things. Someone shout yes. Boldly declare that there is one who his very presence is felt in this house, who not only can remove the incriminating evidence against us, but he can set you and I up with a new life, a new beginning, restoration as if it never happened. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. I'm thankful for the grace of God. Matter of fact, the only one good thing about sin is this: it can be forgiven. It can be forgiven. Come on, somebody, would you shout, thank you, Jesus. Lamentations 3:21, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Mercy means having the authority, the right, and the power to execute judgment. Yet in spite of the right, they have compassion, or they demonstrate compassion. I'm thankful for new mercy every day. I'm thankful today that he sees past my failures. He sees past our embarrassing moments, our serious, our mistakes, our futile attempts to conceal truth or even try our true intentions. I'm thankful today that Jesus Christ can fix our mess ups and our shortcomings. I'm thankful for the mercy of God. I'm thankful for the grace of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. It's in Acts chapter 20. I want to bring us to the longest message recorded after Pentecost. I hope this one isn't, but this one we're going to talk about certainly is. Acts chapter 20, verse 7 reads, on the first day of the week when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. That's a long preaching, ain't it? Some long teaching. There were many lamps in the upper room where we gathered, and a young man named Eutychus sitting at the window sank into a deep sleep as Paul talked still longer. And being overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. See, Eutychus, he was gathered with the fellow believers. It was Eutychus, the Bible states, was experiencing the same message as everyone else around him. He had the same amount of light where he was sitting. And the venue, the same venue, and the venue was the same even, three floors up. The lighting, again, was the same. The message was the same. Yet Luke was inspired by the Lord to issue this warning for us today. That you and I, we can all experience the same message, the same venue, sit with fellow believers, worship to the same songs, but it's our decision to go to the ledge or not. It is our decision as to whether or not we want to adhere to or apply the word of God to our hearts. Someone say amen. You see, it is our decision to casually look out to see what you just might be missing. It is our decision to whether or not we want to climb on the edge knowing that it's dangerous and then lay our heads back to start to spiritually nod off into a state of being what some call backslidden, all while sitting in God's house. That's a scary thought. That we had a wonderful worship service, didn't we? The Lord moved in a great way. The tragedy of all of that is this, is that we can walk into the same place, feel the same presence of God, yet have two different walks with God. Two people could be in the same room and get a different message even. Hearing the same message, but walk out saying, well, he said this, and another one say, well, he said that, or they said this, and then next thing you know, none of it lines up. Someone say amen. Think about that. Someone backsliding, as they call it, in the house of the Lord, in the house of mercy. This message isn't just for one individual. This is for all of us, okay? And if you're thinking, pastor's preaching to somebody so-and-so, no, I'm probably preaching to you. No, I'm preaching to all of us today. Look at someone and say, you're a sinner. Feels good, don't it? In the Christian context, the word backslider, as they say it, it refers to a person who has abandoned their faith or spiritual practices. It's regressing from their initial commitments to God. It's regressing. It's pulling away. It's backing up. See, the term can also imply a loss of fervor or zeal of their beliefs, indicating, again, a spiritual regression. You say, there is a way that leads away from God. It's not sudden rebellion. It's rarely loud. It does not begin with hatred for God, but with neglect of Him. The backslider does not wake up one morning and decide they're going to abandon their faith. No, no, no. They drift. They cool off. And what once burned begins to smolder. And what once mattered supremely begins to matter only occasionally. At first, the backslider feels that there is conviction when prayer is skipped. There is discomfort when worship becomes optional. There's an uneasiness when the word of God stays closed. The heart knows something is wrong. The Spirit whispers to you and I that we must be back into His presence, and it's in those early moments the soul is still sensitive enough to feel the distance. Hear me, but if ignored long enough, something terrifying and tragic will happen. In time, you see, the one who neglects to get the room right no longer feels what once troubled them. The guilt dulls. The ache, it fades. Condemnation replaces conviction, which leads to the attitude of it's everyone else's fault. It leads to the blame game. I'm doing this because so-and-so said this to me. Some would say amen. The warnings grow quiet, not because God has stopped speaking, but because the heart has stopped listening. What once brought tears now brings excuses. What once stirred repentance now produces indifference. The things that once mattered, which is prayer, righteous living, the presence of God, the gathering together with like-minded believers, slowly lose their weight of importance. It's just a matter of time. They're replaced, not by evil at first, but by distractions. Some would say amen. They are replaced, again, not by evil at first, but by busyness, by entertainment, comfort, familiar routines, harmless things that slowly become ruling things. We got to remember what the Word of God says, lay aside every weight and sin. Some things are weights and some things are sins. Some things are merely distractions and some things are just wrong according to Scripture. And we're commanded that if you want to make it to the end, you've got to lay aside the distractions. You've got to get rid of sin, but you got to lay aside distractions. Well, the fire of zeal is not extinguished by the persecution of this world. No, no, no. But rather, it is smothered by neglect. The tragedy of a backslider is this. They know what to do, clap with the preacher, shout and lift a hand, yet in time the urgency is gone. They know what revival feels like, but they no longer pursue it. They remember passion, but they no longer protect it. See, this is dangerous too. This is a danger. The backslider's danger is not that they feel far from God. It's when they no longer care that they are far from God. I was convicted when I was typing this, okay? I was like, oh God, I want to feel you. I need you. Don't ever let me get to a point where I'm just comfortable. But God, I need you. And Eutychus, he was backslidden in the house of God. He was physically present in God's presence, but something drew him to the ledge. I could take this in so many different ways, and I'm trying not to make this message long or be like Paul. Some would say yes. Was it Paul's fault for preaching too long? Was it Eutychus's parents' fault for not parenting him better than that? Was what lured Eutychus to move towards the back and into the window's ledge? We could meander down the dialogue of sorts, conversing back and forth about this very scripture and totally forget that God never wastes real estate in His Word. And Luke made it a point to write it there. Luke made it a point to even name names. For you see, here is the reality. The message of the gospel, the good news, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, receiving His Spirit has been preached over and over again, and yet we at times grow tired of not what it can do, but rather we can easily lay back and say, here we go again. Was it written to the Christian, though, who seems to be doing what they should do, and yet it becomes something of routine and habit rather than relationship and desire? Why did Luke write this? Could be very well written for a warning to everyone to stay away from the ledge and to quit looking outside when you have a steady place, a firm foundation. Stay on the firm foundation. And I understand the lure to look outside and see what everyone else is doing. But they're only acting out what you can see, but hiding what you can't see. Someone say amen. Did Dr. Luke write this in the book of Acts, the apostles, to show us the danger of coming too close to the edge, so close to the end, so close to the rapture, and yet saying, I've heard this for so long, and yet here we are sitting and hearing it again. He's not come back yet, so why am I going to believe He's coming again soon? And so we climb to the proverbial edge, the ledge, and then fall into a stupor. I'd say that all of those things point and more could certainly be applied to challenge us to maybe change. But the question is would you change? Look at someone and say, but would you change? Again, I want to point out these truths. Eutychus was with fellow believers. Eutychus was experiencing the same message as everyone else. Eutychus had the same amount of light where he was sitting. The venue was the same. It was three floors up. The lighting, again, was the same. The message was the same. Was there someone, though, a peer from school calling his name, reminding him that they have practice tomorrow? Well, got quiet all of a sudden. I'm okay with quiet. I'm okay. It's uncomfortable. I know. It's on purpose, though. God's challenging us. God wants to change us. Was it somebody on the outside calling for him to join them when he knew he needed this? He needed the preached word of God. What caused Eutychus to climb on the edge? Was it somebody saying, come on out here, Eutychus. We're playing later on, or we're doing this and we're doing that. And Eutychus says, I know I need to hear that, but I'm lured to the edge. Was it a sound? Was it where he went after he used the restroom? What drew Eutychus to the edge? I simply propose this idea because none of us were there. But could it be that whatever was happening inside lost its appeal to the cry outside? Could it be that whatever was going on inside the presence of God lost its appeal to what was going on the outside? Did the calling on the outside of those four walls, did they lure him out? Lure him out of the safety of being inside, hidden in the presence of a holy God? I propose that from all intents and purposes of Scripture, that Eutychus climbed into that windowsill all by himself. Nobody, hear me today, nobody can be blamed for your lack of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I, we are as close to Jesus as we want to be. You are as close to God as you want to be. You're serving God as hard as you want. Nobody can be blamed for whether you're lacking in your walk with God. Nobody but the me, myself, and I. It's the me monster we got to deal with. Some would say amen. You see, you and I, we're as close to our brothers and sisters in the Lord as we want to be. We are as committed to the preached word of God as we want to be. I've heard it through the years, but nobody called me. Nobody texted me. Nobody came by to see where I was at. That sounds good. It might be a little fair even, but you're as close to God as you really want to be. Somebody texted me and it was in capital letters and they were yelling at me. Who cares? Who cares? You and I, we are serving God as hard as we want or as weak as we want to. There is a way, hear me, that leads away from God. It's not sudden rebellion. It's rarely loud. It doesn't begin with a hatred for God. It's just leading from a Sunday shout to a Monday pout, to a Tuesday doubt, and a Wednesday whining. It's slow simmer that leads to being once hot to becoming cold. I warn us today, we've got to be careful because where you lean, that's where you fall. Notice in Scripture that he didn't fall into the place of meeting where the preached word was being brought forth, but rather he fell out, suggesting again that where you lean when you're awake is where you fall when you're asleep. If your leanings are taking you away from the word of God and gathering with fellow believers, not if, but when you fall where you lean. Is this okay on a Sunday? Here's another point I want to make to us. Scripture does not say that he was sleepwalking either. some of my kids, I won't say who, but I've got three of them. And a son-in-law, I guess. Son-in-love. There you go, Nahum. But none of them. I mean, some of them. I've experienced them walking in their sleep. And boy, does it get interesting. They talk in their sleep, and that gets interesting. They do crazy things. I've had some try to use the restroom in my dryer. That's not the bathroom. But Eutychus, the Bible does not state that he was sleepwalking. He didn't clumsily climb into that dangerous place, that ledge. He didn't just go right to sleep. Most translations even interpret that word that he was falling to sleep. So truth be told, he was vacillating on that very fact of should I stay or should I go. Who's ever fought falling to sleep? It's miserable, isn't it? If you want me to fall asleep real quick, put me behind the wheel on a vacation trip. I'm out. I could drive around town and be okay, but the moment I get behind the wheel, and I might make it 2 hours, and that's pushing it. Man, I can go, those lines, or I get really distracted, those mountains, and that, look at that building over there. Wouldn't that make a nice building? What? Look at that. Look at that truck. Isn't that nice truck? I'm all over the place. I'm the chipmunk chasing glitter, folks. But fighting sleep, it's torturous. See, the reason why we're spiritually falling asleep is because, here it is, we become spiritually dull to his sense, our senses of his sweet presence. The message doesn't get you like it used to. The mercy of God is just some other thing. Musicians, if they want to come. Here's my last point. Some would say amen to that. You're getting worried I was going to pull a Paul, huh? Eutychus fell outside of where the believers were gathered together. Where you lean is where you fall. Acts chapter 20, verse 9, if we could all stand. And being overcome by sleep, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. But verse number 10 reads, but Paul. But Paul went down and bent over him and taking him in his arms said, do not be alarmed, for his life is in him. Verse 11, and when Paul had gone up and had broken bread and eaten and conversed with them a long while until daybreak, so departed, and they took the youth away alive and were not a little comforted. See, what I find interesting about this very thing is that Paul didn't stand still. When Paul found out somebody fell out of the house, out of the presence of God, guess what Paul did? He ran down to him. He didn't scream at him. He didn't say, Eutychus, what in the world were you thinking to get so distracted? He didn't play the blame game and say, it's all your fault, Eutychus. You're in this position because you wouldn't heed to the hearing, to the applying of the word of God. You're there, Eutychus. He didn't point his finger. Even though Eutychus fell where he was leaning, Paul didn't run down and say, Eutychus, what were you thinking? He didn't gather the parents around and say, it's your fault. No, you're as close to God as you want to be. He simply restored him back to the fold. This gives us all hope and should give us all hope today that we might fall short, We might mess up, but you belong back in the arms of your heavenly Father. Oh, I feel the grace of God, the mercy of God just moving across here today. Whatever you've done, whatever mistake, whatever thing lured you from the presence of God, you've got hope today. There's mercy in the house. We got a Heavenly Father that's not going to beat you down for where you messed up, where you fell short, but rather He's going to pick you up and take you back to where you belong. The Bible says that after Paul had prayed over him, the Bible says that he lifted him up and brought him up into the house. Took him back where it all started. He took him back into where the word was going to be delivered again. See, I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know the issues that you're up against. I don't know what may have been luring you to sleep. And I understand that where you lean, you're going to fall. But I ask you today, are you willing to make a difference? Are you willing to have a difference made in your life? That there is no voice more important than the Word of God. I think it would be a good time right now that if you're able to maybe step out from where you are and say, nothing else matters. There's no voice loud enough that's going to lure me away into and out of the presence of God. Oh, we've got to make some decisions today. Again, this message has nobody in intended to, but it's for all of us, because where you lean is where you fall. I'd much rather fall into the hands of a heavenly Savior. What voices have been luring you? Come on, lift a hand to heaven right now. Come on, begin to talk to the Lord in your own words, your own way. What I love about this is the very fact that Paul didn't run down and yell and beat him down with the mistake that something caused him to lean. No, no. It's not what he did. He ran down and gathered him up in his arms. I'm thankful today that we have a Heavenly Father with mercy and grace that's willing to stoop down to where you and I are, dust us off a little bit, and pick us up into His presence. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice. Let's begin to talk to the Lord as we begin to sing this song. Lift your voice and begin to thank Him for the grace, the mercy of God. I'm not where I was. I'm not where I used to be, but I'm going to a place. I'm getting back into His presence. If you want, pray with that person near you if it's appropriate. Nothing else matters.
I must be saved. For above,
what was outside that was calling you to kiss? What voices was he hearing? What direction was he being led to? It was leading him to a ledge, folks.
Lord,
we got to be careful of the voices we listen to.
You have to do to me. Don't let me be lost from eternity.
Come on, begin to pray.
For above,
I don't want to rush this. We don't want to rush this. This is a moment that we can get into the presence of God.
Be saved.
Feel that grace and feel that mercy again. If it's been a while since the fire you felt, the love you felt in the presence of God, it's okay.
I must be saved.
You may have fallen, but you're going to get back up.
For above,
oh God, I pray it right now. Let our walk with you be rekindled. Rekindle the fire in us. Rekindle the fire of prayer in us. Rekindle the fire of righteous living in us. Rekindle.
end of the thoughts of serving you when that nothing else matters.
Don't let me
don't let us fall prey, oh God,
from eternity,
to the ledge, because where you lean, you'll fall. But the grace of God is here today to lift you up and take you back.
Be saved.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
For above.
Somebody, if you're done praying, find somebody, link up with them.
I must
be saved. Oh, I've got to be saved, Lord.
Lord, whatever you have to do to me, don't let me be lost
from eternity,
for above all else. All things new, and I
You make all things new, yes, you.